This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. Boy, I'll tell you what, the NFL and football just keep giving every week year-round. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. Mike, my favorite story had something to do with your partner this week, Abdul Carter. Giants first-round pick calls Lawrence Taylor, maybe the greatest player of all time, to see if he can wear his retired number. And it was bad enough that he did it with Phil Simms, too, and his story with the wife and daughter. But, I could answer it for him, like, and for his agent before he ever went to talk to LT, who we did an event with last weekend, that how that was going to go over. What do you think about that?
Well, my general position is that – jersey numbers should not be retired, especially for football teams, because there's only so many, and you need up to 90 for the preseason and 53, obviously, throughout the course of a given regular season. At some point, you're just going to run out of numbers if you keep retiring jerseys. But if you're going to retire them, Joe, you need to honor the commitment. And it's one thing for, say, a Peyton Manning to spend 12 years with the Colts in number 18, go to Denver in 2012, want to wear number 18. Oh, it's been retired years ago for Frank Trapuka. Peyton Manning asks for permission and they give him permission. I don't like that, but that's far different from the trend we're seeing now, where rookies are coming to the NFL with no NFL experience, right, no NFL accomplishments, no right, NFL chops, and they want these numbers. And the teams are the ones that need to be the gatekeepers. The teams need to say to the players, sorry, not available. Not available. Number one, Malik Nabers is not available. It was retired for Ray Flaherty years ago. But no, Malik Nabers is wearing number one. Abdul Carter shows up, he wants to wear 56 or number 11. The Giants need to say, no, those numbers aren't available. Instead, the Giants were involved in trying to convince Phil Simms to allow number 11 to be worn. One of the things Chris said on Monday is that Joe Shane, the GM, called Phil to talk to him about how it would all work. It would be unretired, he'd wear it, and then it would be retired for you again. Well, what if Abdul Carter has a kind of career that justifies retiring the number?
Right.
You have two players. The number's retired for. The Giants already have a number, number 14, that is retired for two different players. So the teams need to say no, and the players need to feel like they're not being jerks if they say no. I feel like a lot of times the player who has the retired number believes that there's nothing to gain and everything to lose by coming off as selfish. The flip side is you seem magnanimous,
yeah,
if you allow your jersey to be worn. But I just think there's a real risk that your number, that honor is going to be undermined if that new player ends up being as good or better than you were in that number.
Mike, you didn't have to worry about LT being worried about that.
Well, it's not going to happen to LT. But LT had the right attitude. Yeah, LT says, no, get another number.
Right.
And the fact that Abdul Carter ultimately asked Phil Simms to wear number 11 – tells me he completely ignored the point that Lawrence Taylor made. go get your own number.
Right.
And my position is simple. Find a number that currently means nothing to the team, and then commit yourself to making that number mean everything to the team.
Yep, I agree. Hey, let's talk about this College Sports Commission. Is this a Trump and Saban got together and to come talking about this NIL stuff? What do you think the chances are to getting this thing, I guess, somewhat under control for everybody?
Well, I'm a firm believer that to the extent that there's chaos competitively in college football, nobody's saying the colleges are going broke, right? They're all making money. They just don't like the fact that it's costing more money to put competitive teams together and that certain schools are in a better position to raise the money necessary to field the, in theory, most successful team, assuming that you're spending your money well. That's one of the points Saban made last year early in the season. You better be spending your money on guys who can play.
Right.
I think that this is pointing to an outcome that will entail the players having reduced freedom of mobility and reduced earning capacity. And you really don't want to get me started, Joe?
No.
Because I think the colleges should have to clean up their own mess. The idea of running to the federal government, why does the federal government have to save college football? College football has every incentive to save itself. Fix your mess. And the easiest solution is this, because I don't think the president has any power to fix this. He may think he does. Congress is the one that would have to give college football some sort of an antitrust exemption, because all these problems flow from the fact that various independent colleges gathered under the umbrella of the NCAA, which promulgated rules that prevented them from giving the players anything more than tuition, board, room, fees, snacks, whatever. And it's like, sorry, we'd love to pay you, but we can't. NCAA says we're not allowed. That was an antitrust violation. Those teams came together under a false organization to restrict their labor costs, plain and simple. The courts have blown up that model. And what the colleges should do, and they don't want to do it, Joe, they should do what the NFL does. You create a union, you have a multi-employer bargaining unit that has an antitrust exemption built in, and you can negotiate the terms for transfer. You can negotiate a salary cap. You can negotiate a salary structure. You can come up with rules that would protect what you're trying to protect. The problem is they don't want to deal with the union. You know why, Joe? If they had to deal with a union, the union would say, hey, what the hell's the deal with these guys basically working all year long?
Yep.
They get a week off, and then they got to show up for conditioning. And you're doing two-a-day practices when it's 95 degrees outside, and there's nobody there to protect these players. They don't want that, you know, because you know how football coaches are.
Yep.
You know how Saban is. They don't want anybody telling them no. And this all comes back to the fact that Nick Saban's model that he had perfected blew up on him. He had found a way to navigate the old system in a way that delivered a championship to him, what, pretty much every year. And then when all of a sudden – money is the issue, and other schools have more. He started whining and whining and whining. And this whole thing just pisses me off, because they're going to take from the players. They're going to stuff the money back into the pockets of the schools.
Well, from that topic to get you going, Tom Brady had to answer. It was pretty funny. All of a sudden, he hadn't evaluated. He apparently was doing it for the team, and the team even came out and said it months earlier about Shedeur Sanders, and he said, I wasn't involved in the evaluation. I was like, what? Okay, like Tom all of a sudden didn't know the value and what they thought of the whole quarterback. Like they didn't ask him. You guys did a good job of really breaking that down on Tom Brady in that awkward moment of fibbing on the truth.
And look, I know we live in a post-truth society where people just say whatever they have to say to get whatever they want at any given moment. I still am firmly committed to telling the truth. The 12 years of Catholic education have been imprinted onto my soul and my brain and my being. And I try to always tell the truth, and I try to always spot when people aren't telling the truth. And the best thing I can say about Tom Brady in this context, Joe, is he's a very bad liar. It goes back to the Deflategate press conference. Remember that?
Yep.
That bizarre... Are you a cheater? I don't think I am. Like, he was horrible in that context. And it was ridiculous. The unforced error, when he's asked, why did Shedeur Sanders slide to pick number 144? All he has to say is, man, isn't that weird that he slid? He starts going, abba, abba, abba. I wasn't part of the evaluation.
Right.
I prefer a bad liar to a good liar because, number one, it's easier to spot the lie. And number two, it shows he's not comfortable with lying. It shows that deep down, he really doesn't want to be a liar, but he was stuck in a bad spot, and he froze, and he said something dumb. But at a time when there are too many people who can lie with a straight face, and it's so casual, and they'll lie about this, and they'll lie about that, and they'll lie about this, and you can't even tell that they're lying, I like the fact that Tom Brady still has discomfort with lying, because he clearly was lying. He clearly was involved in the evaluation of quarterbacks. He didn't want to undermine his friendship with Shedeur Sanders by telling the truth, and all he had to do was avoid stepping in the pile of whatever it was that he stepped into when he did that hostage video style. I wasn't involved in the evaluation.
Hey.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I love this George Pickens stuff because the Dolphins have gone through this a little bit too. You know, everybody's talking about who got the best of this deal and all this stuff about George Pickens. If Mike Tomlin, if he wasn't toxic, he'd still have a number two receiver on this roster. And Dallas, you really break it down, they believe that they can get him to change enough or he'll go along with the system because of his quarterback that he has and that the locker room is strong enough. But when Mike Tomlin gets up on you, I don't know, Mike, if it's such a good deal that Dallas all of a sudden is going to get a wonderful George Pickens.
The key is the quarterback. Jason Garrett made this point on our show on Wednesday morning right after the deal broke and we tracked him down and we got him on the show for about 20 minutes. George Pickens has never had a good quarterback in Pittsburgh. When he arrived, it was Kenny Pickett. That didn't work out. Nope. Last year, it was Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. That didn't work out. I think George Pickens has far more talent than the Steelers have ever fully embraced. They haven't designed the offense to get the most out of him. They don't scheme him open. They don't have like a whole section of the playbook that is George Pickens needs the ball plays. And that's always been an irritant for him. And I think for Dallas, it's a low risk proposition that he can come in for a third round pick next year and potentially put together with a second contract dangling in front of him. The kind of season that maybe gets his career back on track. It's never really been fully on track. He has shown though tremendous potential down the field, body control, tracking the ball, getting open even
really
when he's
good.
Not
yep.
open. He can be incredible. And so we'll see. And I said the moment they traded for DK Metcalf that they're going to trade George Pickens. And they probably should have traded Pickens out the moment they traded Metcalf in, because Metcalf instantly becomes the number one receiver. At $30 million a year, they're never going to pay George Pickens.
Nope.
And in a contract year, he's never going to get the targets he needs to get the kind of contract he thinks he deserves. It was going to be a toxic mess in Pittsburgh in 2025 if George Pickens had been on the team. And if anything, they waited too long to trade him. And you know part of the problem, Joe? The reputation around the league, not good. I think there was only one team at the table with serious interest in George Pickens, and that's one of the reasons why the trade didn't happen before the draft, so the Steelers could get something of value now. They're waiting until next year to get that third-round pick, because at the end of the day, it was the Cowboys or no one.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, speaking of wide receivers, so we had an interesting one, as you have talked about. Tyreek Hill, why OTAs are going on and they're having their practices and throwing the ball around and working out at the beautiful facility over here next to Hard Rock Stadium. And then Tyreek comes out with his top five quarterbacks, and including Baker Mayfield in the top five, and leaves out Tua, who's not a top five quarterback, nobody's saying he is. I mean, you miss six games on top of it. Even if he's healthy, he's not a top five quarterback. What'd you think of that? Some people going, oh, that's a bad look, man, when you're trying to get it back with your quarterback, and others are saying, ah, you're making too much of it.
I don't think you can ever take too much of that kind of thing, because no one is going to drag Tyreek Hill for putting Tua on the list. Tua was the guy that Tyreek Hill was praising over the top when he was traded to Miami 3 years ago. We all understand it's predictable. It's always the first thing you say when a receiver praises a quarterback. Yeah, he wants to get the ball.
Yep.
He's keeping the peace. He's saying what he has to say. And when you consider everything else that's been going on, I just think at the end of the day, no matter what people say to Tyreek Hill, no matter how much they coach him, try to speak to his better angels, there are times where he just can't help himself. And between Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill, there's just a cloud hanging over the franchise. I still don't rule out a Tyreek Hill trade. I don't know that it can happen because I don't know who's going to want him. I think after June 1, it makes sense because that's when the cap charge goes down dramatically for 2025. A lot of that cap money gets kicked into 2026 if they would trade him, just like it will if and when they trade Jalen Ramsey. It just seems odd. And when Jerry Jones came out before the draft and said they were working on a couple of substantive trades in Dallas, one of the things I heard right away, even though I tried to track it down, I wasn't able to put any meat on the bone, somebody said Jerry Jones wants Tyreek Hill. So now, obviously, at this point, that's a ship that sailed. I can't imagine a C.D. Lamb, George Pickens, Tyreek Hill offense in Dallas. But we'll see. And I think if there's somebody out there that thinks they can get the most out of Tyreek Hill, whatever he has left in his prime, after June 1 is the time to make the move. And, hey, he said it himself after the Week 18 loss. He wants to move on. Now, you know, in the weeks after that, he decided to do that Super Bowl Friday, put the toothpaste back in the tube tour in New Orleans. I think that the thing about stressful moments, sometimes we say things we don't mean in stressful moments, but you know what? Sometimes we do.
Well, I got to tell you, this one it's exhausting. Listen, don't get me wrong. He gives you something to talk about every week. It would just be nice if it just had to do with good part of football. It would be much, much better. Mike, thank you, man. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Joe. Great talking to you, buddy.
All right. Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning, and just take a deep breath, man, every time we talk about, hey, we've got a lot more stuff coming up. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel going to talk about the Miami Dolphins. Some serious stuff coming up next.